Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Back for week 3 of quarantine. And John, we just got off our Instagram Live, which was so fun.
That was really fun. That was actually more fun than I was expecting, to be completely honest with you.
Me too. I was like a little nervous. And then I was like, you know what? This is great. Why don't we just do it every week? Let's just do a happy hour so I can see your face.
That's it. I think we're just going to do that. Every another shot will be recorded Wednesday on Instagram Live. And we are going to release that audio every single week like we did on Thursday's episode. And yeah, it was a lot of fun to interact with people that are probably stuck inside the same way you and I are. Let's be honest.
Well, exactly right. But yeah, it's going pretty well. Matt is not making it for this episode. We don't know why, because it's his job to be here. But I guess in quarantine, nothing matters. So,
well, I don't know if it's connected, but I know that he is homeschooling his kids now, so there may be some balance of work and homeschooling going on, but that's just me speculating.
That's probably true, and to be fair, as good-looking as you and I are, Maggie and Miles take precedent.
Oh, of course they do. Of course they do.
So all of this really makes sense to me. But shall we talk about what we're drinking? Because I cracked open fucking classy Miller High Life when we were doing our Instagram Live because I didn't want to make a cocktail. I will make a cocktail next week.
I will too.
My eating habits have been weird in quarantine that I haven't really eaten. And so like I'm already kind of tipsy from having one beer. So
that's good to know. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, you were like, should I make a drink? And you were like, I'm not going to make a drink. I'm just going to get one. And you like cracked open the Miller High Life. And I was like, good for her. Good for her.
What can I say? You know, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, let a lady live. You know what I mean?
I will say this. A lot of states are shutting down non-essential businesses. And it's really great to see that liquor stores are making the cut for essential businesses.
Say, though, like, it does kind of make sense that liquor stores would be essential. Because I honestly think that, like, I'm not a fan of drinking, like, on my own necessarily. But I do think with all of the stresses of possible unemployment, homeschooling, being quarantined inside, not knowing anything, we probably need alcohol and a little bit relaxant now more than ever.
More than ever. I mean, if there's one thing that can get us through it, it's definitely the drinking. Let's put it that way.
Yes, exactly.
I'm drinking just a regular old iced tea right now because I just had lunch not long ago. So, but next week, let's plan to have like a little bit of a martini of some kind going.
I think that you and I should like make each other's drink recipes. Like I'll send you a recipe and you send me a recipe relatively, you know,
let's
like something that we
yes.
can make without having to go out really in the public. And
I love that idea.
And I think that we can compare each other's drinks.
Okay, perfect. You just text it to me sometime before next Wednesday and I'll text you one too. Here's a spoiler alert. It's going to include Bailey's probably. So get ready for that.
Well, that's what I assumed. Remember, you're creating the recipe for me, sweetie, not for you, but okay.
That's true. You're right.
Before we get started, I just got reached out to actually on Instagram from this two Krista Two, and she thanked us for doing our Instagram Live, and her friend Lauren's birthday is April 2nd. And she's really bummed that we can't do anything and there's shelter in place. So I just wanted to give her a happy birthday shout out.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes. Happy birthday, Lauren. We love you over we here. Do love you. And we will have a quarantini in your honor. Does that
Absolutely.
Make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I'm so sorry. I accidentally muted my mic. This is the fun of quarantining with people.
Yes. I was like, John, are you there? Should we get into this week's case?
Yes. Why don't you kick it off for us this week?
All right. So this actually starts at a trailer park in Ontario, New York, not Canada, keep in mind. So it was actually a recent case. This one's interesting. It was February 1st, 2017, and Susan Morton was talking outside of her trailer. Susan said, quote, Ryan, my nephew that lives with me, he looks down the road and he goes, oh, my God, there's a million cop cars down there. He goes, I think they're at Julie's. So Julie Neal was Susan's 52-year-old younger sister. Okay.
Okay, sister, 52, got it.
There you go. They ran to her house and find it covered in some crime scene tape. And unfortunately, Julie was dead. So Julie was born in Rochester, New York in 1964. People thought of her as a warm Persian. People thought of her as a warm person, and she loved styling hair, which is, I feel like we can all use that right now during quarantine.
Oh my God, I need a haircut so bad.
I know. I think it was in China. I was reading a New Yorker article. After they were quarantined for 45 days, the first businesses to open were barber shops because there's no online solution for that.
Well, of course not,
You know? Well, anyway, back to the story. Her best friend said, quote, she was never in a bad mood. She was always just happy to talk to people, ask how their day was. And you don't meet a lot of people like that. And I got to agree. I don't think a lot of people ask questions. Do you find that to be the case? I just find that people aren't
In what good. Way? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like...
Like if people are okay?
Yeah. I find that even totally. In conversation, even like they don't ask a lot of questions about people. Like they like to talk about themselves, which makes sense. I like to talk about myself too. But you know, sometimes when someone's asking you something, if I was like, hey John, how's your apartment? And you go off in it and then the conversation just ends. The natural thing would for you to be like, how's yours, Darren? And I find that a lot of people don't do the follow-up.
No, it's true. A lot of people, especially New Yorkers, are like that, I've noticed.
Well, after high school, Julie Neal tried to become a hairdresser, but found it to be a difficult way to make a living. So instead of 25, she took a job at a Xerox factory driving a forklift in Ontario, New York. Okay, now keep in mind, this was, we're talking about 2017, but she was 25 at the time. So it was really like 25 years ago because she died when she was 52. So Xerox factories were absolutely still a thing back then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But by the time she was in her 30s, Julie was looking for something more and decided she wanted to have a baby. She found a man named Frederick Harley. And by 1995, they had their first child, Jasmine, really pretty name. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the baby wasn't enough to keep the couple together. Julie's grandmother took care of Jasmine when Julie was at work. And on the weekends, Julie was fully dedicated to her only child. A friend actually said, quote, Jasmine was her whole world. She always wanted to be a mom, and she was just really, really happy that she had a little girl, end quote, which just warmed my heart. That warmed my heart so much. There are some people that are absolutely meant to be mothers in this world, and so far, it sounds like this woman is that person. Jasmine grew up to have the same caring, happy temperament as her mother, and the two were very close. In 2013, Jasmine graduated high school, and she and her mother moved to the mobile home in Ontario to be closer to Julie's job. And in Ontario, Julie was incredibly social and just never locked her doors, which sounds kind of maybe insane given the fact that we're talking on a Martinis and Murder podcast. But just this is normal in a lot of suburbs, I feel like.
It is.
You know, smaller towns, certainly before Manson, L.A. was absolutely like that, you know?
Yeah, true.
Her sister said, quote, everybody calls her grandmother. The kids, you know, would come over and she'd give them candy and everything. They'd pull weeds for her, you know, and help her. You know, and she just treated everybody good. The neighbors loved her, end quote. Meanwhile, her daughter got her first job at Walmart and was becoming the floor manager. She also met a 19-year-old boy named Knowledge Couser of nearby Rochester. That name is not a typo, by the way. Matt did not fuck up. It might be Couser. Knowledge is the name. Might be Couser. Hard to say.
Yeah.
But they hit it off, and soon Jasmine moved out of her mom's house and into Knowledge's home. It was very tough for single Julie to have an empty nest. Her best friend said that, quote, that's when I noticed her change. People would tell me that she's very, very affected by her daughter not living with her. She was heartbroken, end quote. But Jasmine lost her job in the winter of 2016, and she asked to move back home, and she wanted her boyfriend Knowledge to move into.
Okay, so this is interesting. But then on February 1st of 2017, Knowledge called 911 to say that he had found Julie dead on the floor of the trailer. A detective told Snapped, quote, she was laying on the floor and it appeared she was dead. They were trying to give him instructions on how to give CPR. You could hear a female voice in the background crying, end quote. Instructions might be the new 1990, it sounds like. Paramedics rushed to the scene to find Julie with her head laying toward the doorway and her nightgown on. She was covered in food and it looked like she had fallen over in a chair. So those are some very interesting details, very specific.
Yeah.
An attorney explained, quote, she ended up on the floor next to the bed with the pill bottles all over the floor and the nightstand right next to her. They thought that there was a possibility of an overdose by pills. They were all prescription medication, end quote. So not a very, like, you know, comfortable scene here. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. And pills really scare me because, you know, A, once you kind of take them, you take them and you, it's very, to me, and this is probably maybe the wrong opinion to have, it just feels like it's so easy to fuck up a pill. What I mean? Like, who knows? Agree. They're easy. They're subtle. You don't smell them. You know, it's like easy to sneak someplace. Like, pills in general just terrify me a little bit.
They're also very easy to get addicted to. So that's
exactly. Well, yes, that's right.
Well, the medications were for high blood pressure and heart conditions. I don't know why I can't speak today. So she obviously had some medical issues already. The detective said, quote, I could see some sores and bruising, scabbing, that type on the body. Possibly, you know, she'd gotten up thinking she was having a heart attack or some sort of medical problem and had fallen and had simply knocked everything over. Oh, that's so sad. Yeah,
that's totally possible.
Because Julie had no signs of defensive wounds of any kind. She was only 52 years old. It seemed unlikely that she'd just keel right on over. So they looked for any other suspicious signs. No windows or doors had been broken in and nothing had been broken. So they started by talking to Jasmine and Knowledge. A detective told Snapped, quote, when they initially gave their statements to the deputies on scene, they were separated and their stories pretty much panned out to be the same to us. They stated they were out selling a cell phone to somebody that they had made contact through Craigslist, end quote. I've sold a phone on Craigslist before. It's kind of weird, but
okay, drug dealer.
That's life.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, very fine. Casual. It was actually the first ever iPhone, and I'm sad that I sold it because I wish I had it now as like a relic of life.
Oh my god. I know. I still have like Andy's BlackBerry from 2010, which is white. It's so weird. Yeah, it's a relic.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, their story seemed to check out, but Knowledge had one extra detail. He told authorities that a pillow had been on her and had been moved, and it had the same food on it that was on her face and neck. So had she been smothered? No one possibly could possibly come up with any idea of who would want to hurt her. It was just suspicious enough, and authorities decided to keep the case open. Police asked friends and neighbors about what they thought might have happened, and most people seemed to think that maybe it was related to poor health. But one neighbor recalled seeing two unknown men walking around the trailer that evening. A detective even told Snapped, quote, they'd gotten lost in the trailer park due to its size, and they asked for directions to get to the church on Ridge Road, end quote. It was a large trailer park, so it didn't seem out of the ordinary. But a week later, the autopsy came back and it showed that there was 90% clogging of 60% of her heart.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's definitely a health issue.
Yeah.
But there was also no proof of a heart attack. In fact, the coroner couldn't even determine a cause of death, meaning that she definitely could have been smothered, which often doesn't leave, you know, bruising or marks.
Sure. Although defensive wounds, I mean, I guess if you're being smothered, you might not hit anybody, but you'd kind of think there might be like skin underneath the nails or something. Well, then the police received an alarming call from Charlene, who's a friend of Julie. Charlene told Snapped, quote, I called the sheriffs and told them I was calling on behalf of one of my best friends. She had made me promise to notify the police in the event if anything ever happened to her, and she wanted them to know to please investigate the daughter's boyfriend, Knowledge. She said, quote, you have to promise me if something effed up ever happens to me, promise me you're going to go to the police, end quote. By the way, I know we've talked about this before, but like if I'm dating someone and I go, John, like, you know, call the cops if Carson kills me, like this is not a relationship I should be in. And like, if the mom, I mean, again, it's the mom saying this, but like, that's cause for alarm.
It's certainly an indicator that, yeah, something not great is going on with this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Yeah. Well, according to Charlene, Julie didn't think Knowledge was a good person for her daughter. He was apparently very controlling and was unable to think of herself with him. The prosecutor said, quote, Julie did not think that Knowledge was the right young man to be dating her daughter, but when she would confront Knowledge with any of those issues, he would fight with Julie and yell at Julie, which would also then trigger Jasmine to fight with her mother, end quote.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, this is a common tale that parents are kind of stuck when their kids date somebody that they don't necessarily like, because you run the risk of them going closer to that person and resenting you.
Listen, just last night, I'm watching The Golden Girls. And it's the episode where Dorothy accepts Stan back into her life.
And we all hate Stanley.
We
love Stanley, but we hate Stanley.
Well, then, you know, Dorothy wanted Sophia's blessing and she would not give it to her, saying, I don't like this man. And sure enough, Sophia was right because Stan ended up being terrible. The end. Keep going.
Stan's always terrible. Well, obviously this situation was tense and escalating. Julie had shown Charlene text messages from Knowledge that said, quote, I hope you die a slow, painful death, you fat effing pig. I hope I get to watch, end quote.
Are those text messages to Matt or are those actually in our research?
Well, did I send the same text messages to Matt earlier in the day? Yes, I did. But I didn't mean anything by it.
Got it.
Just because I want him to die. But not for nothing, John. Imagine receiving those text messages.
Right.
That's not only be called a fat pig, which is disgusting in and of itself, but slow, painful death, and I hope I get to watch. I wouldn't send that to anybody.
No.
So police immediately revisited the couple's alibi of selling an iPhone. They were unable to verify a listing showing that they were selling it. A setback in the investigation happened when the lead detective had an injury that kept him out of work for months. But his coworkers had continued to interview family members and friends. A neighbor saw the couple throwing out all the family heirlooms as trash on the side of the road. That's usually not a good sign. That's caused suspicion. Well, then they sold a trailer for $10,000 and stayed at hotels, not even 4 weeks after Julie had died. This didn't seem to be normal grieving behavior. Like selling the trailer, staying at hotels.
I was just going to say,
seems a little egregious.
And it's like, as soon as you start selling things and start making money, we all know where this goes, you know?
Well, after the couple blew all their money, the police began receiving regular calls from Jasmine trying to get them to close the case. As it turned out, Jasmine stood to earn nearly $300,000 from her mom's estate. Again, this is like a life insurance policy. This is not a good sign for Jasmine here. But she couldn't receive her money without a death certificate. And obviously, with an open investigation, you're not going to get that. So Jasmine was impatient to get it. And red flags were clearly raised here. Finally, the lead detective began to recover and came back on the case. And his first order of business was having another interview with Jasmine. Knowledge was making that difficult, so the detective reached out to Jasmine's grandma. Jasmine's grandmother told Snap, quote, I called her. I said, where are you at? And all of a sudden, he got on the phone like, oh, my God, you again? And he called me all kind of ugly names. And, man, he's just, you think you're going to come and get Jazz, but you ain't going to get Jazz. Jazz ain't going nowhere till I say so, end quote. This is controlling and terrible fucking behavior. Yeah. This is Dirty John at its finest, it seems.
I was just thinking that too, Yes.
Well, Jasmine's grandma thought she might be the victim of domestic violence. A natural, I mean, I would think the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
The detective decided to use the insurance money as bait, telling Jasmine that he would not close the case until she came in for a follow-up interview. That's very smart. And on June 20th, 2017, Jasmine, Knowledge, and Knowledge's grandmother all showed up at the police station. They were to take a certified voice stress analysis, which it's not admissible in court, but it's a tool for the sheriff's office to confront people.
It's interesting. So, I've actually never heard of that before.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I have heard of it. I guess I didn't know the proper name for it.
Yeah.
So Knowledge got testy and refused to be interviewed, and detectives had to escort him out of the building. But Jasmine agreed. Here's a snippet of the interview. Why don't you be the detective and the investigator, and I'll be Jasmine.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
This is an instrument that's 100% accurate. I'm going to tell you whether you're lying or not at the end of this. Did you cause the death of your mother?
No.
Do you know who was responsible for your mother's death?
No.
Do you know who caused the death of your mother? Well, I believe you do.
I wasn't even there. I'm leaving.
Okay. All right. Well.
You're not about to catch me in a lie.
Okay. All right. Scene.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
That was very impressive.
Jasmine, but I took the girl role.
That's fine. You know, listen.
For you.
Yeah, for me, that's appreciated. Yeah. Well, while detectives planned their next move, Knowledge's grandmother came into the police station. She told them she was in a rush and didn't want Knowledge to become suspicious, but she handed police her cell phone and quickly told them she had a recording that could solve the murder. That's interesting. A detective told Snap, quote, that was our aha moment. We definitely have this here. We definitely know at this point in time, you know, what angle to start working this investigation, end quote. The recording was taken by Knowledge's grandmother, who was suspicious after Julie's death. In the recording, detectives hear Jasmine and Knowledge arguing about the large insurance policy and Knowledge's grandma acting as a mediator.
Interesting.
Yeah, the prosecutor said, quote, she keeps reiterating to them that Knowledge and Jasmine need to get along. They need to stick together or everyone's going to go down for the murder. And so she's kind of eliciting by phrasing it that way and eliciting more information about the money and what they're going to do with it, end quote.
And keep in mind, this recording was taken by Knowledge's grandmother.
Right, exactly.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. A detective said, quote, basically Knowledge wanting Jasmine to just take the fall for everybody so he can collect the money, end quote. It was clear that Knowledge was manipulating, but was Jasmine a willing participant?
Oh, my God, John. Corona got you. Corona vibes.
I don't know what is going on with me here.
Yeah.
So his grandmother also dropped another little morsel. It was about two brothers who had helped out with committing the murder. So now we've got Jasmine, Knowledge, and two other people.
And the grandmother, for fuck's sake.
And technically the grandmother. Police badly needed to isolate Jasmine again and confront her, but they just couldn't get past Knowledge's control of her. The opportunity presented itself when the couple got into a domestic incident and the cops were called. Knowledge allegedly had threatened Jasmine, saying, quote, once you go to sleep, you won't wake back up. I'm gonna cut your throat, end quote. Oh, okay, very casual.
Yeah, that's not terrifying. I mean, I call you every night and say the same thing, John.
Yeah, you do. That's before I go to bed. You say that every night. Well, that's, of course, when Jasmine was ready to talk. She came down to the station and spilled it all, giving her side of the story. Before the murder, Jasmine's mom, Julie, had sat her down and explained to her that she was her sole beneficiary. Oh, okay. When
this makes a lot. This makes a lot more sense now. Yeah.
When Knowledge learned this information, he wanted the money, so he called up his half-brother, 18-year-old Devante Devine, and his friend, 19-year-old Malquam Drayton, and met them in his grandmother's basement. He tried to offer them $2,500 each to kill her, but they said no, so he raised the price to $15,000. And they accepted.
We talked about this last week, mm-hmm. about the price of killing for like $2,000 and like,
I know.
Just the price on a life. It's just kind of amazing people bartering for being like, okay. And also the jump from 2,500 to 15,000 just seems like kind of massive, but okay.
Well, Jasmine claimed she was an unwilling accomplice, saying, quote, "I never wanted her dead. Ever since I got with Knowledge, he's been programming that in my head." So there is a little bit of a Dirty John coercive control situation, it feels like, happening here.
A lot of grooming going on, John. A lot of grooming. Not the good kind of grooming either.
Yeah. No. Which we need, by the way, because we're quarantined.
Yeah, right.
She claimed she didn't go along with it. They would kill her too. So the night of the murder, Jasmine said that Knowledge picked up his brother and friend and drove them to Julie's house. Then she and Knowledge left to go sell the phone as an alibi. Ever since then, Jasmine claimed Knowledge has been completely controlling her. She said, quote, "He ripped up my registration and my driver's license so I couldn't drive anywhere. He slashed my tires so I couldn't drive anywhere," end quote. So,
I mean, I feel like this maybe goes without saying to our listeners, but let me just say, anyone that is in an abusive relationship, like, please get help. Talk to somebody. Get out of it. This sounds horrible, and it's a nightmare. It sounds awful.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Just as Jasmine finished up her side of the story, someone else came to the police station wanting to tell his. Knowledge Kuser wanted to fight Jasmine's story. He claimed that she had been trying to come up with some sort of plan for as much as 2 years earlier. The prosecutor in the case told Snap, quote, "His version was that Jasmine hated her mother, that they would fight constantly, that during the course of these fights, she would call her all types of names, would wish that she was dead. She decided the one thing she knew she could do to get away from her mother was get money and be able to support herself. And the easiest way she saw that happening was through getting the life insurance policy."
Oh, end interesting. Quote. So her motive is a little bit different than what I think most people's would be in this scenario.
Absolutely. Well, Knowledge claimed that he set up a meeting between Jasmine and his brother and friend, and that's when Jasmine finally made the decision to have Julie murdered after some sort of a fight. A detective said, quote, "Jasmine and Knowledge were not working anywhere. They basically were just mooching off of Julie, and she had been sick and tired of it. We were told that she was about to kick them out because she wasn't going to let them freeload any further." So Knowledge claimed it was at that point that Jasmine called them up and told them it was time. But what could police believe? I mean, they decided to start by arresting everyone because it's a little bit of a he said, she said situation. Police picked up Devante Devine and Malquam Drayton. According to Democrat and Chronicle, quote, "Devine said he and Drayton hid in a bedroom closet until Martin returned to her home. The two men jumped out of a closet and smothered her with a pillow, causing her death." Mm.
It's terrible.
Malquam was immediately cooperative. He said that Jasmine and Knowledge willingly participated and hid him and Devante in a closet. Okay.
Wow.
So after Julie made herself some food, went into her room, sat in her chair, and started watching TV, the two jumped out and Devante strangled her with the pillow. And according
this is like my worst nightmare, by the way.
Me too. And I live alone. According to the Wayne Times, he, quote, held a pillow over her face until she stopped moving.
Yeah,
I can't. A friend of Julie's told Snapped, quote, "I can't imagine the fear Julie felt when she realized what was going on, knowing she feared Jasmine and Knowledge were going to do something to her. And then finding herself in that moment had to break her heart," end quote.
Yeah.
All four were charged with murder.
Well, Jasmine's trial was set for July 2018, but before jury selection, she decided to cut a deal and plead guilty in exchange for 20 years to life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Jasmine pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, according to the local publication Democrat and Chronicle. According to NBC New York, quote, "Jasmine Harley admitted planning the murder of her mother, 52-year-old Julie Martin," end quote. All the boys also took plea deals. According to the Des Moines Register, Knowledge Kuser pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. He was sentenced to 20 years, according to the Finger Lakes Daily News. Devante Devine pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, according to the Democrat and Chronicle. He was to be sentenced to 20 years to life. According to Democrat and Chronicle, quote, Malcolm Drayton pleaded guilty to first-degree robbery and will be sentenced to 11 years in state prison, end quote. So a friend of Julie's said, quote, the boys at their sentencing, all of them broke down and apologized to the family and showed remorse, but Jasmine never shed not one tear, end quote.
Wow. Which, I mean, you know, it's hard to say because I feel like from Julie's perspective, you know, she was so upset when Jasmine left and her whole life was her daughter. And then when her daughter came back into her life with a guy, it's just hard to say like how their relationship really was, because I feel like Julie would have been honest with her friends about having a tough time with her daughter. And for her fucking daughter not to shed one tear about her own mother. I mean,
I know.
Even in her death, you know, it's, I hate to judge somebody and, you know, emotions don't necessarily mean anything, but in a case like this, I mean, if obviously they mean something, but in a case like this, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like if there was somebody in my family who died, no matter if I hated them or not, to not even show any type of remorse after being so brutally murdered with like a fucking pillow, it just seems so awful.
That is awful. It's a really tragic story. It's another one that's motivated by money, which is unfortunate. So like we always say, keep an eye out on anybody who has an insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Or in this case, you know, an estate situation. But
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's get into some happier news here, Darren. Let's do some shout outs.
Okay, let's do it.
I wanted to give a special shout out. This is like a little bit of a different one, but it goes out to any essential employee who is out there going through tough times right now to make the world a better place in the long run. That's teachers, doctors, nurses, grocery store workers. It does not go unnoticed, and
agreed
I wanted to
read with that.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, that. You know, consider checking in with people like, you know, people who do cleaning services, people who cut your hair, style your hair, restaurant owners, small businesses. Now is the time to sort of buy from them and support them more than ever, because the sad kind of side story about this virus is that the economy is really not doing well. And people really that rely on a living through these services and through their businesses are really in a place where they're uncertain about what's happening. I personally checked in with a guy who cuts my hair, who I've been going to for like 8 or 9 years at this point, and he's okay, you know, but I said, you know, if there's ever anything I can do, like, please let me know. So from not just me, but from Darren and everyone here on the show, we really appreciate you guys out there working hard.
I checked in with my hairdresser as well. We actually have a phone drink date next week just to chat. I want to help in any way I possibly can. It's definitely such an unprecedented time.
It is, yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, it's a little, it's just sad.
Yeah.
But let's end on maybe a positive note. Sam on Facebook said, quote, just wanted to say a huge thanks to Mom and Dad and Megan and Matt the bartender. He's bartender in air quotes, which I appreciate too, I guess, for continuing to make episodes and practicing social distancing. I'm a nurse at a large urban hospital that is quickly running out of personal protective equipment, masks, face shields, gowns, gloves, while seeing a big spike in COVID-19 patients. It has been extremely stressful. Hearing John Thrasher's and Darren Karp's voices at the end of my shift yesterday really helped lift my spirits. Thanks for keeping on. I might fall under the government's definition of an essential worker, but y'all for sure are essential to me. Hashtag cheers, bitch. Hashtag stay home. Sam, thank you from all of us. Honestly, we are so fortunate and lucky to even be considered a good part of your day when you're helping so many people. And we honestly can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing right now.
Yeah, this was in our Facebook group, and I just responded to her. I think it's a her. And I said, by the way, we just ramble. You're the one out there actually making the world a better place. So thank you for what you're doing, Sam. We appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. John, I think this might have been one of the first weeks where our another shot was maybe longer than our actual episode.
I know, that's true.
We had so much fun on Instagram Live, but guys, let us know what you think of the case. And also let us know if you want us to do more Instagram Lives, because we're happy to do it. I want to see John's face every chance I get.
Hell yeah. And we might even be able to do a thing where we bring people on, you know, like I can pop out and bring fans on to talk to us and we'll have fun with it.
Oh my God. That would be so fun to do.
Wouldn't that be
That's
fun?
Such a good idea. Yes.
Yeah. Let's do it next week and we'll see you guys next time.
Stay safe out there, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Law & Order SVU is now TV's longest-running primetime drama. And this season, we're going even deeper with the Law & Order SVU podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.